Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Monday, February 7th, and I am not in my usual chair located in the Brinson compound. Instead, I'm in a room, a hotel room in Los Angeles, because it's Super Bowl week. And we're out here doing some shows. A couple of notes. One, this is going to be the ultimate gambling preview show with RJ White, our good friend. There's a big thing on Sportsline you're going to want to check out. We'll tell you about that in a second. I also want to note that if you are a loyal podcast listener, we will be doing a video show, myself, Ryan Wilson, and John Breach, every day. I believe every day we'll have the full programming, which you can tune in about 4 o'clock Eastern time to 5 o'clock Eastern time. So if you love the Pick Six podcast, you want to support us, we appreciate you checking that out. That's on CBS Sports HQ. Now you can just get the CBS Sports app on your phone, your Roku, Fire Stick, your smart TV, however you do that. And you can watch it for free, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Pretty much every single day this week. Also, of course, keep subscribing to YouTube. We'll have live shows and tons of content all week long. Turn on your alerts so you'll be notified when we go live. Like and comment. If you're listening on Spotify, give us a 5-star rating. Joining me on Eastern time, having waited 6 hours for me, which I guess is a macrocosm of dealing with me in general, RJ White. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Only slightly longer than usual when we do our pick show.
This was actually out of my control. So I was on time for everything, and the travel gods decided. We actually had an altercation at the end of my flight coming into LA between one gentleman who tried to walk to the front of the plane and leave, or like he wanted to be the first guy off, and the pilot stopped it on the runway. And then like people were heckling him as he was going back to his seat. And then there was a bunch of yelling. It was just a very awkward scene. At any rate,
I didn't know you were on the same plane as Prisco.
I think Pete bought a giant can of Pringles. To slowly eat one Pringle like every 10 seconds just so he could ride on the plane without a mask on. Good for him, I guess. Available today on sportsline.com. This is something you guys have been doing. You've had a big hand in it for the last several years. I would assume now that given your promotion at our company, that this is kind of your baby, right? This is the ultimate gambling guide. The Sportsline Ultimate Gambling Guide for the Super Bowl, LA versus Cincinnati, picks, props, and projections. It is available for, tell the listeners where they can get this incredible gambling guide. I believe it is like 26 pages rich with data, projection, props, and picks.
Yeah, we got over 70 something prop picks in there. We got, I think, 9 expert picks, me, Larry, and NFL editor Brett Anderson, who had a great season picking games for Sportsline. He contributed to the props picks there. Like you said, it's a lot of data in there. It'll be available on cbsports.com. It'll in the Super Bowl arena. You go to cbsports.com/NFL/Super Bowl/ I think prop bets guide is the link. And once it's live, it is live Monday morning. We send it into the product team there. They'll get it loaded up. What you do is you go there, you'll see a box, under the intro four paragraphs in that says sign up to get the guide, at this, in this box, and we'll send it to your email. So all you do is put your email in there. We send it to your email for free. You can read the PDF, download the PDF, take it with you to the books, get the edge you need when you're making your picks or on your phone or whatever. Check the link in the description of this video. If you're watching this on YouTube, Debo is going to throw that in there for us. And you should just be able to click through there once it's live.
Excellent stuff. And of course it is free, which is, you're encouraged to have a Sportsline membership. It is not expensive. There's, as you point out, tons of great picks and great content on there. And but you can get this for free if you want.
Yeah, and in this guide you get 9 expert picks for free because you get 3 of us. And if you sign up to Sportsline and go to our main expert props article, you get 30 prop picks because you get 10 experts contributing to that. So yeah, you know, triple. All you got to do is sign up for this 1 month and see what we have to offer on Sportsline. Not just the props article. We got props that have to do with the model's projections because the model projects all the stats for the game. So it'll tell you where it's strong and where it's weak on these picks as well. That you should you know target there. You got a lot of other props content all throughout the week. I'll be putting up some entertainment type props, digging into the national anthem, whether you should go over under that, coin toss stats, all those kind of things. So Sportsline subscription pays for itself, as everyone knows. When they get it through the NFL season and start backing some of these picks, they all seem to like it a lot. So
yeah, no, it does very, very well on a regular basis. Debo points out, Debo, of course, handling podcast producing duties. Listening back to last year, they crushed the Bucks first half Bucks first half of the team to score last wins the game, as well as Mahomes under. So that was a great job by the Sportsline crew. If you were on that, that was the opposite of the sharp or the square play. I think you know the public liked Mahomes because it's Mahomes, and then you know the Bucks took care of business. And if you were on the Bucks, you cash. There will also be a link in the description of this podcast if you want to click through to get the guide downloaded. Sorry, I'm not used to my current setup of my podcast, so I'm like used to having 2 monitors and not holding this gigantic snowball microphone. You can't. You stop picking up the thing there, Debo.
You're getting a little bit.
Be careful. Be careful.
All right. I'm trying to. Okay. All right, let's talk about some general game trends to know about this game, RJ. What stood out to you? Because this line it opened up at 3.5, although some spots had like 5, then it ticked to 4, and then 4.5, and now it's sort of in that dead zone where maybe it moves a little bit more, but maybe not. The total has dropped down to 48.5 unless it's moved since I've been traveling today. I was traveling on Sunday. What are some trends to know about like what we've seen from this and what you're looking at when you look at this game?
Yeah, so with this matchup, these teams are combined 5-1 to the under this postseason. The Rams Buccaneers game was the only one that went over, and that was kind of like a rally by the Bucks made it get there. In that sense, when you look at the Bengals, you're talking about a team. Their trip from their worst NFL team in the league to the Super Bowl appearance happened in 3 years, tied for the quickest ever turnaround with Carolina in 2003 and San Francisco in 1981. They're also tied with 3 teams for the fewest wins in the season prior to the Super Bowl appearance. You remember the 49ers did that; they went 4-12, and then they made the Super Bowl. Since he just did that too, they had a 4-win season and they did that. What interested me was Zach Taylor's career win percentage entering the Super Bowl is 337, and that's the worst ever by a Super Bowl coach. But not only is it the worst ever, it's the worst ever by more than 100 points. The next closest was 438 by Bill Walsh.
Who Bill Walsh?
Yeah, in his 1981. That's San Francisco Super Bowl coming out that bad year. So it's interesting that they're here. They were 150-1 to win the Super Bowl before the season. They would tie the Rams at 99 as the team with the longest preseason Super Bowl odds to win since at least 1980. But you know, there is some things going for them. The team entering the Super Bowl with the worst record, which is the Bengals, won 11 of the past 13 Super Bowls, covered in 14 of the past 15 Super Bowls. And that doesn't include the games where they were identical, because you can't really pick a worse team if they have the same record. But it seems like this team that comes in with the worst record actually does well against the spread for whatever reason.
Does that make, what do you think about this? Because I see that not to give it away, but it looks like the model likes the Bengals in this spot, you know, just a close game. What's your sense of it as just like RJ's sense?
Yeah, I wanted to be on the Rams at 4. So that was my play against the spread. I think for typically in Super Bowls, if you want to be on the favorite, you want to be on the money line closer to the game, because people are going to be hammering the underdog money line and it's going to drop down. I think even now you can find money lines at like -200 at books that are giving out 4.5, which is way below price. You know, I think you typically would see 225, 235 in these games with where it is now. So you're already seeing a discount. It's just going to get even worse once you get closer to the game. So I think if you like the Rams, the strategy opportunities to wait and play that money line. Hopefully it dips down a little more to the 190, 180 range, and you're going to get great value on that, I think, because that's the way I'm leaning for the game. I just think it's tough for the Bengals to come in here in this environment, young team, compete with their offensive line. So I would want to be on the Rams here. I think they have better veteran leadership, guys that have been there before. McVay probably is going to be taken, you know, aback like he was coaching against Bill Belichick in this first Super Bowl. Couldn't do anything offensively in that game. I think he'll have a better time here. Now, you know, Zach Taylor had the same exposure in that game, obviously, you know, as a McVay disciple, but a little bit different when you're in the head chair. And you know, this is his first time doing it himself. So we'll see how that goes for him. But I have more confidence in McVay coming in and coaching well in this game.
Yeah, and I think, too, that it's likely McVay thinks about that pregame handshake suck up to Belichick, I don't know, 5 or 10 times a day, because he, you know, he could have easily won that Super Bowl, and it cost him. What? Let's talk about some key player props.
Well, yeah, one more thing on McVay before we move on. He's the fifth head coach to reach multiple Super Bowls in his first 5 seasons, and the previous 4 went 6-2 in those games, and they all won at least one Super Bowl. Now, several times it was winning the first one, and he obviously did that, but out of all 4 of them, they went 6-2, and they each have 1 win. So you figure if he's going to keep the streak going, he's got to win this one.
Sorry, I was cutting off the air conditioning in the room. I like to set it to 65 when I get into a room, a hotel room. I'm a sicko. Yeah, great stuff on there. Let's dive into the player props. When we look up, let's just go team by team, player by player, and we'll start with the Bengals and Joe Burrow. And by the way, I got to tell you, the Sportsline Ultimate Gambling Guide is super clean. Like it just looks really good. A very, very impressive layout, and just like a very easy to read, easy to sort of take in. You know, like page what page is this? Page 6. Joe Burrow props, wholly dedicated to Joe Burrow props. And give me one that you like, or you think the model likes, or you think that's worth looking at for Burrow.
Yeah, great job by designer at CBS, Tim Burke. He did the layout and everything there, made it look super clean, did a great job with it. So shout out to him for doing that. The one I like for Burrow the most is under 275.5 passing yards. This one, I think, opened at 276.5, dropped down to 273.5, and now it's went back up a couple points. I think we're getting a decent value there. The Rams excel at defending deep passes, and that's been a big component in games where Burrow has piled up a lot of yardage. Think about those Chiefs games, especially in the regular season. They were just bombing those deep passes and hitting Chase and breaking long plays. So that's how you pile up the yardage, but the Rams are pretty good at defending that. And the Sportsline simulation, we have the numbers that they simulate in this guide as well. So you just get the raw yardage number. You can go and compare it to what books you're offering and see which way you want to go, especially if it's close to the number. You don't know which side you like, if the lines move. From what we have, you can actually see what the simulation has in there, and they have this number at just 250 yards, so we're way over what they have simulated. So wow. If you trust those, it's 10,000 simulations of this game, and they take the average of that, and we got to 250 on an average game. So he's gonna have to be way higher than average, and he's gotta put together one of the exceptional, you know, outlier games to get over this number. So I think the value here is definitely going to under there.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing is you can oftentimes, like, part of the concern of taking that the Burrow under would be that, you know, the Bengals are trailing. Well, I mean, you have a couple game scripts. You can get out of this with the Bengals are leading and Bengals are running the football. You can get out of this with a low scoring close game where they're running Joe Mixon a bunch on first down. They're not trying to open things up with that passing offense. And I do think Zach Taylor's and Sean McVay too, probably will be conservative in this game because McVay doesn't want to come out and just give away free possessions. Taylor should be nervous going up against his old boss. And we saw Taylor runs the ball on first down all the time. I mean, Tony Romo was killing him for it last week. So I kind of dig that as well. What do you think about Joe Mixon?
Yeah, I would go under his rushing yards too, 62.5 there. LA is allowed no more than 61 rush yards in any playoff game. They're fifth on the season, the regular season, in yards per carry. Mixon did have 88 yards on 21 carries last week, but generally he's been in the 40s and 50s prior to that. He's not hasn't averaged higher than 3.9 yards per carry before that game since November. So if he's only rushing, you know, behind that offensive line for 3.5 yards, 3.8 yards, whatever per carry, he's going to need a lot of work to get over this number. You know, you're talking about 16 carries get you to 64 yards if you're averaging 4, you know, so you might need 18, 19 to get over this number. And I just don't know that the game script is going to allow that. So I think there's some value going on the under with Mixon there.
Any concerns that the game starts out like last week and the Bengals are trailing and forced to chuck them or forced to, well, I mean, I guess if that would be good if it was for the under, right? Or any concerns that they were trailing last week or last week and didn't abandon the run and might still continue to try to run the football.
Yeah, obviously that's, you know, if you follow what they did last week and he gets another 21 carries, he's probably going to go over this number. The question is are they going to be effective doing that? Are they even going to be able to do that, especially if the Rams are running it too? Because the Chiefs were throwing the ball, you know, and they weren't really focused too much on the run. And so the game kind of extended a little bit for the Bengals. They got to run more plays than maybe they're going to run in this game. I think this will be a more quick pace game in terms of the action on the field, not for overall the day, because we know how those Super Bowls go. It's just nothing about the Super Bowl day is quick paced, but the action on the field, the clock might be running a little more, fewer amount of plays total run than if it would be like a Kansas City, Tampa Bay type game, you know.
Ja'Marr Chase, big play threat. Not necessarily a reception monster, tons of receiving yards, but he just goes for big yardage. Do you think that will continue in the Super Bowl? And does that give you possible outs to look for with Chase?
Yeah, he averaged just 4.8 receptions per game in the regular season, only had 8 of his 20 games with 6 catches, including the playoffs. So I like going under 5.5 receptions at +105. Getting, you know, a plus value to go get on the under there, even though that's his typical game is going under that number. Even with the recent uptick, when you just take the last 5, which we also do in the guide, we tell you what their averages are in the last 5 games. So you get a recent look and then you get the average for the whole season. He's had 5.5. So he's right on the number. So you're still, when you factor in the +105, you're still getting value going on the under, even if he has his recent average as opposed to his season long average. So the sports line Sims I brought up earlier, they have him at 5 receptions on average. So they also think it's good value on plus odds. So I think I'm playing a lot of unders on the Bengals, as you can see, but that just seems like the value is here for that. So I like him going under that number.
Well, and two more factors just to add to that. One, you know, we've seen the Bengals do a lot of run pass or run pass pass, like run short pass. In other words, like they're just trying to convert those third downs, asking Joe Burrow to do good work on third down. They tend to focus in, I feel like, more on Tyler Boyd and potentially the return of CJ Uzomah, who had a nice last week of practice. I think we'll have to see what that, you know, where he goes from there. But if Uzomah comes back, I think that benefits the taking the Boyd under, especially at that plus money. All right. Proceeding with the right along, T. Higgins. If you were, you know, Higgins, I actually have I don't know if this has any chance of cashing. I have an outstanding T. Higgins will have the most receiving yards in the playoffs. I assume that's dead because of Cooper Kupp, but.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, maybe he goes for 300 here.
We need some long receptions on that, but I like him going under 24.5 yards on his longest reception for -125. Juice is moving toward the under here. It was -115. He has just one reception of this length in the postseason. And like I said earlier, LA is great at defending deep passes and the pass rush likely going to force Burrow into quicker throws. So I don't know that the opportunity is going to be there for him to hit some big plays. So on the Higgins front, I'd go with the under on that longest reception prop, I think is the way to go.
All right. I love it. Do you have anything else from the Bengals that you'd like to look at from their standpoint before we get to the Rams?
No, we'll talk about some Bengal stuff later, but you mentioned Uzomah coming back. I think Boyd could be a sneaky play on overs if Uzomah isn't 100% or he doesn't come back, because they're kind of forced into quick throws if the pass rush is getting there. And I think that's where Boyd is going to get, you know, more receptions than usual in the offense because of that.
Yeah, they that's sort of what happened against the Chiefs is they had – because Ramsey was covering Chase. I mean, excuse me, not Ramsey. It's been a long day. They were covering Chase. They were making sure to cover Chase aggressively. And then in those short third down situations after Uzomah got hurt, Tyler Boyd stepped up in a big way. I agree with you. I think receptions is probably the way to go with Boyd, especially if they're really utilizing him on third down if Uzomah is not in there. All right, let's talk Rams. What prop do you like for future Hall of Famer Matthew Stafford?
You in this Hall of Fame talk, is he retiring after the season?
No, I'm just trying to wake you. I'm the one who created the public narrative about it. Like, that's a fact. And so I'm leaning into it. It drives Pete Prisco nuts. I saw Peter King getting all in a tizzy about it, but he's like, it's like, no, he's not a Hall. If he wins a Super Bowl and walks away from football, he's not probably, I mean, I think he would be a Hall of Famer, but he certainly wouldn't be a first ballot Hall of Famer. My anticipation is that Stafford, if they win the Super Bowl, and then he plays for 4 more seasons, is going to add 20,000 yards or whatever to his totals. And it's just going to be impossible to keep him out.
Yeah, but my point is, why are we having this discussion now? Let him play those 4 seasons and then we'll talk about it.
I just like to pound my chest. No, it's strictly a me thing. I mean, it's very selfish. Anyway, let's be more selfless to the listeners and we'll We'll give him a prop for Stafford.
I go longest completion over 38.5 yards on Stafford. He's had 21 passes of 40 plus yards this year, including three in the playoffs, and Cups caught 11 of those, which will come up with my Cup prop later. Since he's allowed only 12 passes of 39 plus, but three of those have come in the playoffs. So higher concentration once they play these better teams in the playoffs, with guys like AJ Brown and, you know, and Tyreek Hill, those better receivers, Tyreek Hill, those guys getting those long passes. So I think Stafford can complete a long pass in this one, 40 plus yards. So I would play that to go over.
Cam Akers has looked, I would say, up and down. I mean, I know he looked really explosive at the beginning of the playoffs. So not quite, you know, had those two fumbles against Tampa Bay, and you can't tell if he's just going to pop one off or not. What do you think about Akers? Because I would guess that in the second half, if the Rams have a lead, we see a lot of Cam Akers.
Maybe. I mean, he fumbled twice against the Bucs, and he played 81% of the snaps in that game. Then the next week, he had 13 carries versus San Francisco, played 39% of the snaps and wasn't on the field, you know, even half as much. So if that's what we're going to see in this game plan, of we're scared of him fumbling the ball and he's going to kill us in the second. The only way we can lose in the second half if we're up is if we turn it over. And if you get cold feet there, you might see Sonny Michel in the game. You might see a little Daryl Henderson if he's active. I don't know.
Is Henderson in the card to be active?
It was a possibility coming out of the week. You know, he could be an IR activation is what they were saying after the game. Wow. But we'll see. You know, we have the whole week to monitor practice reports and see how that goes. But either way, I like Akers to go under 16.5 rush attempts because of that reduced snap count. And, you know, the sense that if they don't trust him to protect the ball in the second half, I don't know that he's going to see a high number of rushes in the second half. He's averaging only 2.8 yards in the playoffs, too. So he's not really deserving of being the focal point on offense that gets 18 to 20 carries. I don't think so. If Henderson does come back and you see he's active in the game, definitely jump on this number, because losing even 2 to 3 carries to Henderson is a big deal when you get talking about a number this high. We're not talking about 12 or 11, you know, rushing attempts in the high teens. So I think if he's in line to lose even that to Henderson because he's active, this is a smash spot.
Yeah, absolutely. Henderson active is you immediately go and bet 1.5 to 2 units on the under of Cam Akers carries, as RJ just pointed out. Cooper Kupp. Oh man, I got some CLV on his receiving total. I took over 102.5 already. I love it. Not scared of it. Cooper Kupp's hard to stop. You like that, or you like something else with Kupp?
Yeah, I think that's a good one. I know Larry likes that also. My favorite one is the longest reception over 28.5 yards. I mentioned he had 11 catches of 40 plus yards. This number was 27.5. It already moved up a yard. So I think people jumped all over that. They just see a long reception from him in this game. I still like it at this number since he's allowed 5 30 plus receptions in their last two games, 3 to AJ wow. Brown, 1 each to Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman. So they are not stopping these explosive plays. And when somebody gets one, you figure it's got to be Kupp on the Rams side. He's 22 receptions of at least 29 yards this year. That's an average of over one per game, including the playoffs. So I think it's he's going to get to that 30-yard catch, 29-yard catch, whatever, hit this over.
Yeah, I like that too. And you're getting a reasonable juice because it just moved up. What about Odell Beckham? 23.5 for his longest reception. He's also at 5.5 receptions plus 120, which is kind of crazy, and 64.5 receiving yards.
Yeah, a little bit aggressive on the receptions total because he's had 6 receptions each of his last two games. So I would hit the under on that at minus 150. It's heavy juice, but the sports line sims have him well under 5 receptions. And, you know, when you factor in the average of the last 5 games, it's still below 5.5, even though he got to 6 the last two games. So, you know, you see these trends, you figure people are just going to keep going up and up and up. But I think it's more of a Cooper Kupp game than anything. And Beckham has some key plays, you know, on third down or in the red zone especially. But I don't think that he gets to 6 receptions, so I'd play the under.
Okay. Game. So the, you know, you can bet on the Super Bowls. You can bet on the first quarter, first half, second quarter, third quarter, whatever you want of any game in NFL. But it feels more fun to do it in the Super Bowl. Any particular game props stand out for you, whether it's the Rams are favored by 0.5 in each of the 4 quarters, and Rams are -3 in the first half.
Yeah, I think first half, you got to look Rams, even though it's -3 compared to a -4.5 spread. So you figure it's not even close to half. But I think the value is there. Their defense allows 3 fewer points than Cincinnati's defense in the first half. And the reverse is true in the second half. Cincy's defense plays much better after the break because they make adjustments well. Super Bowls tend to start slow, though. So you get these lower scoring first quarters, lower scoring first halves in general. But with the Rams having that experience advantage with the leadership, we talked about better quarterback. Well, not better quarterback, but more experienced quarterback, probably not as likely to wilt in the moment. I know you're going to talk about Joe Burrow, big game Burrow. He always rolls in these must win games, but I have a little bit more confidence in Stafford, especially with their defensive matchup. So I would expect Rams are going to get to the halftime with a lead. So I would be willing to lay the -105 on the first half with the Rams. And your best quarter bet is probably going to be flip the other side, take the Bengals at +0.5 in the third quarter, even though it's -125. They become the kings of halftime adjustments. They give up the fewest points per game in the third quarter this year of any team. So I think the Rams could come out slow in the third quarter, especially if they already have the lead, be a little more conservative since you could get a rolling a little bit, make it a tighter game. So if I'm playing one of those quarter bets, it's going to be the Bengals in the third quarter.
I was just looking at the box score for the LSU Clemson game. And if you recall, like Clemson, I had Clemson heavy against Joe Burrow, which I regret. But it felt like at the time, you're like, all right, Clemson can definitely hang. And then the Tigers, LSU threw 21 up in the second quarter. We got 31 points total. And I'm not saying these things are the same, but I thought it was surprising because you read Jamar Chase, 52-yard pass from Joe Burrow. And then it's like T. Higgins, 36-yard run. But T. Higgins was on Clemson. A lot of guys from the championship team on this Bengals squad. All right. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk some more props.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
So early props, looking up, tell me early props in order, like coin toss, opening kickoff be a touchback. Will there be a score in the first 5.5 minutes? First team to score, first score of the game will be a touchdown or field goal or safety. Team charged with first timeout, et cetera, et cetera. I guess you could do first coach's challenge. What do you like out of that group?
Yeah, we found some good trends in the guide to read about it. The one I wanted to highlight here is the first score of the game, field goal, a safety, +140. It's the heavy underdog, even though 10 of the past 14 Super Bowls have cashed for field goal and safety in this prop. I know Rams and Cincinnati have good offenses. You think, well, they're going to score touchdowns because, you know, they're good offensively. But, I mean, most teams that make the Super Bowl have good offenses, and this trend still hits. So you're not gonna really find many duds when you play the Super Bowl. So with the Rams' strong red zone defense and Cincy likely willing to attempt long field goals with McPherson anyway, and McVay Bay probably willing to take the points and be conservative early. I think field goal safety has a good chance coming in. And you can play the plus 140 here, but Caesars also has, you can pick the exact outcome of the first score, whether which team gets the first score too. Mm. And so you, the both teams with the touchdowns are the favorites, you know, higher up. But then both of the field goals are plus 400, Rams plus 400, Bengals plus 400. You play both of those with the even amount, you're getting plus 150 instead of your plus 140 in this pick. So really the way to go is to split your bet half between those two things. And then if the field goal comes in, you get a little bit more money than you would have otherwise.
Yeah, I'll never forget. I think the first score safety was in Broncos Seahawks. And it was like, you know, it just never happened. People stopped dealing with it. And then, you know, it was like 80-1 or 800-1 or something like that. One thing I would point out on these early props, and the Sportsline highlights it. Will opening kickoff be a touchback? And it says only 6 of the 55 Super Bowls in history have begun with a touchback. Oh, and so, yeah, no is plus 160, which is just wrong because for a couple of reasons. One, you know, as you point out, like historically, it happens like that all the time. Two, you have a return guy who, you know, the cameras are flashing. You have a return guy who's amped up, wants to make a play. And then three, this great factoid from Pat McAfee of the Pat McAfee Show, former kicker for the Colts, punter for the Colts, I guess, who, you know, also did kickoffs. Apparently they pull the ball, they pull the actual Super Bowl ball out of a box right before kickoff. And he said earlier this year that it is as hard as a rock and like almost impossible to blast. So that's why these kickoffs, and, you know, maybe you want to try and, you know, see if you can scare somebody into doing something, you know, anyway, point being, I think no on touchback makes a ton of sense at really good plus money.
And you see these kickers last year when we did this guy, both kickers were some of the league leaders in touchbacks. They were over 70% of the time kicking touchbacks. It still wasn't a touchback. It still got returned because, you know, the factors that you mentioned. This time, a lot less. You have Matt Gay, 63.7% of his kickoffs are touchbacks. McPherson is around 60%. So, you know, at the price that we're talking about here, I mean, we're already going lower and you're probably getting good odds if you just played a regular game with these guys with a touchback and play this price. But then you factor and all the Super Bowl stuff that's related around that, it drives it down even more. And so it drives it to even better value. So if you want to play a plus odds thing that gives you a little bit better payout than normal, and you know, you could see if you cash that one right away, that's a good one to jump on.
Yeah, I love it. Is there anything you're dying to talk about on late game props? Otherwise, we can move to scoring props.
Yeah, I like the team to score last, LA at minus 120. This is kind of tied into the money line. If you like the money line on LA, right now you're laying minus 200. If you think they're going to win, just play this, because a team that scores last typically wins, which we'll talk about here in a little bit too. LA scored last in 14 of their 20 games this year versus 11 for Cincy. And since they always, you know, the team that scores last always wins at this point, I think it's better than going with a money line play on the Rams. There is a different one that if you want to, you know, vary off your money line, that typically would come in as good odds too. That's a little bit better odds than this at plus 120, which we'll get to at the end. But this is a good one to play too.
Okay, scoring props. Such things as total TDs scored in the game over 5.5 is minus 120. Longest TD scored in the game is over under 42.5. Team to score the longest TD, Los Angeles favored there. Will there be three unanswered scores in the game? Yes, is minus 210. I think it seems insane that always hits, but it always does. Successful two-point conversion, yes, plus 260 is very interesting. Total field goals made in the game, over under 3.5. Longest field goal made, over under 47.5. Shortest field goal made, over under 27.5. Both teams with a 35 yard or longer field goal, yes, plus 100, no, minus 130. What do you like in the scoring prop territory?
Yeah, I like looking at that total field goals made. Over 3.5 is at plus 130. And McPherson's had 4 field goals in each playoff game. So they have confidence in him from 60 yards at this point. You know, they'll run him out there, kick a field goal anytime they get around midfield or past midfield. Since he drives have stalled out just past midfield in the playoffs, you know, a bunch, and he has those field goals there. The Rams games have averaged 3.65 field goals on the season. So, you know, you get Rams kicking field goals and allowing field goals. That's more than 3.5. And since he games have been right on the number 3.5. So with the confidence McPherson has in the coach has in McPherson kicking field goals, I think plus 130 here, that juice is just off to me, and I would want to jump on that and think I'm getting value.
Anything else in that scoring range you like, or you move on to full game props?
Yeah, there's some things that some are stronger leans than others. You know, the shortest touchdown one is interesting because it's over 1.5 yards. Under 1.5 yards, you're basically betting, will there be a 1 yard touchdown? And there's been one in 7 of the last 9 Super Bowls. And in the 2 where there weren't, it came close because he had a 2 yard touchdown and a 3 yard touchdown. So you're typically always going to get short ones. The question is there going to be like a pass interference that gets down to the 1? Is there going to be a goal line stand that you have to punch it in? And Joe Mixon has been very good at rushing in from the 1 yard line. 5 of the Bengals' 6 1 yard touchdowns have come from him. So if the Bengals, you know, in particular get down there, you got to like their chances of converting. So I think going under on that, even at -160, is probably the way to go.
Can you parlay Super Bowl props like this, like under 1.5 and then 3 straight scores?
There are some. If you go to this, you know, the sites, the books that have it out, you know, they'll typically have a parlay section for same game parlay stuff, and then they'll give you options. And if you try to do stuff that's correlated, sometimes it'll say, yeah, you can't do those two, right, you know, but so if you try to be clever and, you know, piece together something where if one thing happens, you hit 8 legs, they're not going to let you do that. But if you just want to build your odds up and try to hit like a massive parlay with unrelated stuff, you can do that.
Basically avoid paying like -210 to get the, you know, for the juice for three straight scores. Full game props, largest lead. Will the game be tied after 0-0? Total players with a pass attempt. The old Trey Ingram. Who am I talking about? The old Philly special situation. Total net yards in the game you can bet on. Total third down conversions. Will there be a successful fourth down conversion? Total sacks, et cetera, et cetera. Tons of these. What do you like in this spot?
Yeah, will the team that scores last win the game? Yes is -210. I mentioned this a little bit earlier. It's hit an 8 straight for the yes, and 15 of the past 16 and 21 of the past 23 Super Bowls. When I say 15 of the last 16, the only miss was an intentional safety taken by John Harbaugh. So technically, yes, that was a miss. You wouldn't have cashed that one. But really, in the spirit of it, it's not like they gave up a score at the end of the game. They just took the 2 points and you know, a better kickoff to think they were going to win the game, and it worked out for them. So I think, yes, even at -210, just from the recent trends, that's going to hit. So I think if you can parlay stuff, throw that one in one of the parlays if they'll let you do it, because there's not that much risk of it considering the trend.
Okay, I like it. What about the MVP?
Yeah, so a lot of options here. Typically, it goes to a quarterback, we know. So this is your chance to get a Rams money line at plus odds, because you bet best bet Matthew Stafford at +120. Most efficient way to play the Rams money line, to me, you know, quarterback has won the MVP award 4 of the last 5 and 9 of the last 12. Cup is also interesting at +700. If you think he's going to go over his receiving total, like you do, if he has 100+ yards, if he has 2+ touchdowns, you know, if Stafford throws 1 or 2 backbreaking picks, they'll be looking to give it to somebody else. And
now, just really quickly, just because I want to point out that 4 receivers since 99 have won the MVP. Those are Julian Edelman in the 13-3 game. Deion Branch, that was in the Eagles game. I think it was the Eagles Pats Super Bowl when Deion Branch won.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry, Diva. There's Diva quickly remembering the Super Bowl MVP of that game.
Trey Burton, by the way.
Trey Burton. God, I was completely blanking. I was like, I cannot think of this guy's name. Thank you. And then Santonio Holmes won it when Ben Roethlisberger had been under some scrutiny off the field, obviously, and the voters didn't want to give it to him. And Santonio Holmes had a huge game. And then Hines Ward also in a low-scoring game. And in those 2 Patriots games, we saw where Tom Brady had won the Super Bowl MVP within the last 2 years of those particular games. And so I sort of wonder if there wasn't voter fatigue there. I mean, does that concern you at all with betting on Cooper Kupp? Because his odds have come down quite a bit, right?
Yeah, and at +700, he isn't great value. So it's just a little bit more of a lottery ticket than +120. You know, that was probably the most realistic one. If it's not going to be a quarterback, obviously that's what the odds are telling me. Now, if you want to do a super lottery ticket, the value pick there is Tyler Boyd at +7500, 75-1. So since we said going to prioritize quick passing, probably a lot of targets for Boyd, especially if Uzama's out. Even if Uzama's in, I think you want to get the ball to Boyd and move the chains, get those receptions, stay out of those 3rd and longs, which are going to kill them if they get in 3rd and long. So I think that's going to be good there. And you look at the guys that are around him on 75-1 also. You're talking about Kendall Blanton, talking about Logan Wilson, Daryl Henderson, who if he plays, isn't going to get a lot of touches. So having a guy here who probably is going to get a decent amount of targets really makes no sense to me. I don't think he's going to win MVP, but I think he deserves to be higher than those guys for sure. So I think you're getting value at this number of 75-1, which is also the Evan McPherson number. And, you know, he's been awesome. And I know there's going to be some calls from some angle, some, you know, areas of the
analysts.
On the Pick Six podcast that he should win MVP if he has another four field goals in this game, but they're not going to give it to a kicker. I mean, the voters are just not going to do that for a Super Bowl. If it's a low scoring game where kickers matter and the Bengals win 12-9, probably give it to a defensive player or something right. like that. You know, so if somebody's getting picks in that game,
it would need to be like It would need to be like 18-14, and like all 18 points come from the kicker.
And like three over 50 yards, and like no defensive player has an interception, yeah. and only one guy has like a sack, you know, or one sack is the maximum.
Or like the Rams are just coughing the ball up, and they're not doing anything. You know, yeah, exactly. That's unlikely. I think two Rams defenders make sense as longer shots. Aaron, and look, on the Cooper Kupp 7-1 thing, Patrick Cantlay was the favorite when the Amex teed off on Thursday, and he was 7-1. Like, it's way more likely that Cooper Kupp wins Super Bowl MVP at 7-1 than it is that Patrick Cantlay just wins a golf tournament with, you know, a field of, you know, whatever it is, like, you know, 120 golfers. Like, I mean, just the very, like, if you just thinking, comparing odds, it's, you know, and Cantlay was in it for a long time, but I don't hate the Kupp bet, I guess I'm saying. I'd much rather bet Kupp at that number, and he just goes nuclear and has, because if he has 12 catches, 180 yards, and Stafford ends up, you know, with 300 yards passing, and they win in a fairly low scoring game, but it's all come from Kupp, and the voters will give it to him in a heartbeat. So I was kind of pushing back on it, but didn't want to like totally. I wanted to point out that it's not like a bad number. The two Rams defenders though, that I like, Von Miller, he's won a Super Bowl MVP before. Super Bowl 50. Panthers lost to the Broncos. And Aaron Donald, who has been on the stage before, and I think just because of his ability to completely wreck an opposing offense, if the Bengals don't do much in the first half and he's playing really well, and then he's able to tee off in the second half, 18-1, not great for a defensive player, but a guy like Aaron Donald, if he has three sacks or something like that, the buzz is going to be around Aaron Donald in the media box.
And you want to see him like score a touchdown or get your pick or scoop up a fumble, you know, and return it for a touchdown or something. And once you get that touchdown by the defensive player, then really all bets are off, you know, a Malcolm Smith type of performance there. So, you know, that could happen with a guy that talented, you never know. So it's just hard to predict who's going to get that, but he's going to be in the mix. If there's pressure on Burrow, you got to believe he's going to be the guy in the backfield.
Yeah. And I think the other thing too, is if you think about it like this, let's say the Rams win the game. Is 24-10 a reasonable score, or is that just too low?
I think it's reasonable. Actually, one of my long shot plays that I liked, I was looking at, is a Bengals exact point total. You know, you got one of the options at 100-1 is 12. And like 12 isn't two, you know, four field goals again with no touchdowns, that's 12. But you also get the two field goals. You get there down, you know, 24-6 late. They get that touchdown. And then they're like, all right, the only chance we have is to go for two here. And they don't get it. So then you're stuck at 24-12. So I think there's, you know, with those two paths to being at 12, I think 100-1, I don't think he's going to hit 100-1, but 100-1, I think it's better than a 1% chance.
It's 100-1 for a reason. The Rams, the Bengals, I don't think that the Rams are just going to lock. I find it hard to believe there's locked down the Bengals for the full game, but they really do have some elite players that can exploit the Bengals' weaknesses. And so if you think this can be a low scoring game where, you know, it's again, let's say it's 17-3 at half or something like that. And that sounds crazy, but the Rams and the Patriots were good offenses and it happened to them too. And let's say it's 17-3 and then it comes out second half, Bengals put up a couple points, but not much. And the Rams are really conservative in the second half. You're going to be looking at a defensive MVP for the Rams more than likely in a low scoring game like that. And Von Miller and Aaron Donald have been playing great this postseason and are good splash guys. So I like both of them.
Yeah, and the one thing that would put me off of that, I'm going a Rams defensive player, is I think it's more likely if you have like a spread out offensive game, you know, with you don't have one guy that's coalescing getting all the stats, but we know that guy's going to be cup if the Rams are scoring a big total with big. If he has 100 yards, I think it's hard to give it to a defensive player. You're like, this guy got 100 yards, even if the quarterback didn't play well. Let's give
it's
it
like
to him.
The Rams Pats. I mean, it's everybody was sort of wondering who the hell's. I mean, I remember being in that press box. Everybody's like, who the hell's the Super Bowl MVP? You look around, you're like, Edelman's had a great game. Hey, Edelman works. I mean, that's just sort of how it operates. And again, as always, we stress that with these MVP bets, you were talking about reporters who are doing this as a like an extraneous thing. It's not their job to just sit there and monitor and vote. They're gonna fill out this ballot, run downstairs, get quotes. If it's a close game, it's often difficult to if it's a close game, tons of points, it's going to default to a quarterback. And even if it's not a ton of points, it still might anyway. So I like Matthew Stafford as well because I like the Rams in this spot. Anything else from the Ultimate Gambling Guide, RJ?
No, I mean, we went over, 10 props or so? That means we got
like 40.
We got like 70 more, you know, or 60 more or whatever. So a lot of good stuff that we haven't talked about. You get Larry's best three picks in the guide. You get my best three picks out of all the props, including one we haven't talked about here. So definitely encourage people to go check it out and, let me know what you think on Twitter. I know Twitter is a great place with a lot of encouragement and people lifting each other up. So come yell at me how great I am instead of what you usually do.
Go lift up RJ White on Twitter at RJWhite1. Go check out the Ultimate Super Bowl Gambling Ultimate Super Bowl 56 Gambling Guide, powered by Sportsline. RJ, you got a busy job. You still take time to sit around and wait for me to get in from a flight. You're the best, buddy. Talk to you soon.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.